Thank you very much. And I'd like to invite all of the speakers up to the podium to take questions. And I also see Dr. Berenson, the principal investigator of the Bogalusa Heart Studies here. So if he would like to come answer some questions, he is welcome to as well.
I'm sorry, I don't have a photograph of Alan Sonico. Everybody had photographs here. But he established these cohorts, and without him, none of these studies would have been performed.
Yes, Julia. Well, like I mentioned this morning, there's other theories about altered deposition of collagen and elastin and how that could relate to arterial stiffness. So that could also influence hypertension later in life. And then your talk also looked at the heart and differences in the way that the heart is remodeled in the adverse perinatal environment. And so, you know, perhaps there's alterations in cardiac function relating to that increased cardiac output syndrome we see early in prehypertension then leading to sustained hypertension. So there's probably other mechanisms operating in the adverse perinatal environment that can account for future hypertension irrespective of nephron number.
That's a great question. I'm not sure that we really know, but I think that we could speculate on some of the factors. I mean, at the point when LRC was done, the prevalence of obesity was very low, as you saw. It was about 7%. And it's possible that the kids that were obese at that time actually had either a greater genetic predisposition to obesity or that the sort of quality of obesity might have been a little bit different at that time. I have no basis for that speculation other than to think about who's in that tail of the distribution and the fact that the obesogenic environment has really added to that distribution but may have added kids that are much less genetically susceptible to obesity and related complications that might be genetically, have similar underpinnings. And so it's possible that there's a greater susceptibility to higher blood pressure in that cohort, but there may be dietary influences that we haven't fully accounted for. And, you know, clearly something other than just straight obesity is to blame here. I mean, there's clearly something else going on. I'm not sure that we know what that is yet. NGHS we do. PFS we don't have any stored blood, unfortunately, from that far back. We have the adult blood, but
well, that's true.
For genetic, yeah.
But, aren't there going to be, we want to talk about some of the metabolomic stuff that might be going on in the nitrous?
I mean, there's certainly work that we're doing. I mean, one of the benefits of PFS in particular is that we have families that we've been tracking. I was only showing the school kids, but we have their parents as well. And we've done a number of studies looking at heritability changes before and after the obesity epidemic and interrelationships of those. And there may also be some clues in some of the work that we're doing collectively looking at metabolomics and other factors that may help give a clue to what's going on.
Yes, in the back. Can you speak up?
It's possible, but you would imagine that it would go the other direction. I would imagine that if you had 10 opportunities in adolescence to catch high blood pressure, you might catch it more than having one opportunity to catch it. And so it would actually argue the other direction, I think, just thinking about it. I would have suspected that you, because you're looking across, you know, basically 10 years of information on the girls in NGHS. And the data analysis I presented actually has adjusted for the multiple measurements in these girls, but still the if you're looking at prevalence, that's you would have more opportunities to catch it in the later cohort than the earlier one.
It's mystifying to me, anyway.
That's the nature of research. We answer one question and only think of 1,000 more that we need to answer. Okay, well, if there's no more questions, I'd like to thank you all for coming.